to our church.
The death of Jesus on the cross is evidence of a God who triumphs through suffering. We often look at the cross as the means or the tool God used to triumph over sin, but we must be very careful that we do not exalt the two rather than the King who is sitting on the two. When we look at the cross as the tool God used to triumph, we focus more on the two. But when we focus on the Lord who triumphs through the cross, then our attention is removed from focusing on the two to focus on God who endured the two, which is the cross. We're in this series that we have called On the Cross, and today we'll be looking at a theme, God weeps. On the cross, God weeps. And we'll be reading from Matthew 27, verses 46. Matthew 27, verses 46. If you can, would you please stand with me as we read this verse together? Matthew 27. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God weeps alone so that you and I should not weep alone. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your goodness, Lord, that you show in so many beautiful ways, but more so as we're just focusing our eyes on the cross and to see a King who is on that cross loving us deeply. God, may we be moved by your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ was born with a mission, and his mission was to rescue the people, to rescue the human race from sin. He lived a pure life, and he trusted God with all of his might, all of his strength. He trusted God, not only just with words, but with his own actions. In fact, with his own life, he trusted God. And Christ was God in the flesh. And time came when he had to die. In fact, he gave up his life willingly so that you and I could be rescued. But there came a moment when Christ was ashamed, when Christ was rather shamed, when Christ was beaten, he was betrayed, he was abandoned. He experienced tremendous suffering. And his suffering wasn't just physical. Often we pay too much attention to the physical suffering of Christ. But he experienced this suffering deeply, you know, spiritually, but also emotionally. He experienced it. And you see it in the question that he asks. He asks, because he came to this time, he came to this point when he felt like God was very far. That God was not close to him. He came in this moment when he felt like God was not caring for him. And in his suffering, he cried out in a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Now, this question is not strange to us. All of us do ask this question, God, why? God, why? When we're going through moments of pain, moments that we are suffering and we cannot understand what's happening around us, and there is confusion, there is maybe rejection, and we feel alone and abandoned and betrayed, we ask the question, God, why? God, why? Why have you abandoned me? God, why do you feel, it seems like you do not care. God, why do I have to go through this pain? God, why do I have to go through this pain again? God, why can't I just have a breather this time? It seems like I've been in this for so long. And questions do come when we are in this moment, when we are suffering and going through pain. We ask the question, God, why? So when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We get it. We understand it because we ask this question. But in this question, there is actually a great mystery right here. There's a great mystery. My God, why have you forsaken me? This comes to us. And with the great mystery, there is ambiguity happening here. Because this question alone invites a lot of other questions. What's happening? What's happening to Jesus that he feels this way? That he feels that God has abandoned him? And why did God leave Jesus? There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of ambiguity that is happening here. But even in uncertainty, even in ambiguity, we see that Jesus Christ is actually still moving forward. When you are in a moment of ambiguity where you don't know what to do, but you know that I'm on this mission for God, when we are in that moment, the only way that is going to help you move forward is to lean more on what was clear to you when you started the journey. It was very clear to Jesus Christ that he was on a mission, and his mission was to rescue us from sin. That was very clear from the start. But there came a moment when he felt like the one who gave him the mission was not present. What would keep him to go forward? When he felt like the one that gave him the mission abandoned him, when he felt like the one who gave him the mission is forsaking him, but he still chooses to go forward with the mission, because when you're in a moment of ambiguity and you feel like, I don't know what to do here, lean more on what God made clear when you are starting that journey. And Jesus Christ continues to go. He says, you know what, even though I might feel forsaken, but I'm not giving up, I'm still going to go forward. Even though I feel abandoned, but I'm still going to go. Even though I feel like I'm dragging my leg right now, but I'll still keep going. Because he understood the mission. Even in the very moment when he felt alone, he still understood the mission. So he lives in the mystery. And God invites us to live in the mystery, because it is in the mystery that we encounter him. You know, when things do not make sense. Because on the cross, there's a lot of mystery where there's sadness, but also there's joy, and they coexist. There's brokenness, but also there is hope on the cross. There is injustice, but also redemption on the cross. And it's okay for us to live in that moment, that we can allow our tears to flow, but also we can allow to be filled by the joy that God brings right in the middle of uncertainty and ambiguity, and that we don't know what to do next, but we lean more to what God has made already clear to us. So what's going to make you to move forward when you're in that moment, in the moment of pain and suffering, and you feel like God has forsaken you? What's going to help you move forward? And I just wanted to remind us, the first thing that's going to help you move forward is for you to remember that you belong to God. Remember that you belong to God. In this question, Christ says, my God, my God, my God, my God. You know what? I feel like you're not here, but you're still my God. I feel like you're not present, but you're still my God. There's a lot of pain that I'm going through right now, but you're still my God. My God, my God, my God, my God. Because you need to remember you belong to God first. When you're going through an intense moment of suffering and pain, remember you belong to God. You are his and he is yours. The greatest temptation that I think is for every Christian that we have is to forget our identity, to forget who we are in Christ, and to forget whose we are in Christ. And that, I'm very convinced that we need to be reminding ourselves every single day, that we belong to God and we are his. He is ours. So Christ had to remember that he belongs to God. You have to remember that you belong to God. Because in the moment of pain and suffering, you can move forward when you believe that you belong to a God who brings beauty out of chaos. That you believe that you belong to a God who is good. That you remember that you belong to a God who will right your wrongs. That you belong to a God who loves and cares for you deeply. You belong to God. So remember that, because when you do, you will move forward. Even in the moment of pain and suffering, you're going to move forward. Secondly, remember that God is closer even when he doesn't give answers to your questions. God is closer to you even when he doesn't give answers to your questions. Your comfort is found in the presence God offers you than in the answers you want to get from him. Jesus does ask this question, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we do not have the answer, right? Like, you cannot find the answer here. And intentionally, God made it so that we don't know. Maybe God actually responded to Jesus, but we don't. We don't know that. So this question is actually left unanswered. And often we find ourselves in that space, isn't it? Where we have lots of questions, but they go unanswered. And we still want to hear from God. We still want to hear from God. Now we can speculate of what's happening with Jesus right now. Oh, God is forsaking Christ because there's a lot of sin on Christ and God cannot look, you know, cannot look on Jesus and therefore he looks away. Remember that song? The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory and daughters to glory as well. But we don't know that. We don't know what's actually really happening. Scripture does not make that clear. But we can speculate what's happening. And we can just it can just be that speculation. And God has left it that this question went unanswered. And that relates with us. That we have so many questions that go unanswered. And God does not explain himself. And this is because God thinks that his presence with us is better than his explanation to us. His presence with us is better than his explanation to us. He would rather sit with us in our pain rather than tell us why we're experiencing that pain. Because he reckons this is good. This is better that I will sit with you right in your pain. So God being present does not mean everything else is going to go smoothly. But he says, I am with you. I am with you. So God has provided his presence right there in your pain, in your own suffering. He has provided his presence. And sometimes God's presence can be disguised as a supportive family. You know, things are not going well at work. Things are not going well in your business. But you come home and God has helped you, has built a sanctuary for you at home that you just feel loved at home. That's God affirming his presence for you. I am with you. I give you a supportive family. Maybe God's presence is disguised, in a form of a person who is really there for you. You know, this person just, they're just loving on you, just helping you out, taking you to the clinic, giving you transportation, taking you there, providing that, providing this. That's God saying, I am with you. Yes, things are not okay, but I am with you. And this is the way I want you to know. Maybe it is a supportive community, like this church, that you just feel loved here. And helped here. And that's God's way of saying, I'm with you. I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes it is just God's peace with you. You know, there's that saying that sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he calms us in the storm, where he gives you that peace right in the middle of the storm, that he's giving you that peace which transcends all understanding. And you are saying, I cannot really understand how I am at peace with this. But I am. That's God's presence in your life. So remember that God is closer to you even when he doesn't give answers to your question. Number three, God's inaction is not God's inability or even his unwillingness to come through for you. God's inaction is not God's inability or even his unwillingness to come through for you. I'm just imagining. If Christ saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Just imagine in that moment if God said, oh yeah, you are my son whom I love. You know what? Let's show these people that are doing this to you. You know, I'll bring fire from heaven and burn everybody. In fact, I'm going to burn the entire world and just leave you, my son, alone. Where is hope in that for you and me? There's no hope in that for you and me. Because sometimes God can seem as though he is inactive. But he does that because God doesn't want to just rescue one life. He wants to rescue many through the one. And that's what's happening here with Jesus. That God has a plan, and his plan is that through Jesus Christ, he is going to rescue many. And therefore, he let Jesus go through this pain and suffering. So that a lot of us can have hope. A lot of us can say, yes, we belong to God's family. So there are moments when God might seem as though he is not responding to you. Might seem as though he is not rescuing you, pulling you out of this situation. And that could be that he wants to touch many through your story. He wants to touch many through that pain and suffering. And Paul talks about this. He gives us the ministry, that there's a ministry that comes through suffering. There's a ministry that comes through pain and suffering. That there will be people in your life that will come closer to God when they hear your story. That there are people in your life that will begin to believe that God is good when they hear your story. That there are people in your life that will feel comforted by God. Or maybe able to endure a situation they're going through when they hear your story. When they can hear, say, you know what, I was like you. I was in the same situation like you. But God did this. This is how God helped me through it. And that just lifts their faith up. So there are moments when God will seem as though he's being inactive, but he is up to something. Because God might just work through your pain that you're going through to rescue a life. Because God is like a surgeon who cuts you not to bleed you to death, but he cuts you to heal you, to bring that healing. And sometimes he'll cut us so that we can experience wholeness. We can experience that healing. Number four, you can move forward when you're in the moment of pain and suffering, when you remember that God is more invested in your care than you are. God is more invested in your well-being than you are. When you look at Jesus Christ, we see a God who is more invested in our lives than we are. He's so invested that he let himself experience the pain and the suffering. He's so invested that he wants to empathize with you by going through an overwhelming pain. He does that because God is so invested in you. And you might feel there are moments when you feel like God is not interested. God is not even invested in my well-being. God is not invested in my life. You will have that those moments. No, I am more invested in justice than God is. But actually, God is more invested in it than you are. One thought that has come to mind the most for me this week is, there are moments when you and I feel the brokenness around us. Sometimes we feel the brokenness around us, that we see people in pain, we see people in suffering, and our heart breaks. But that's sometimes, and I'm using that word deliberately, that it is sometimes. Because it's not every single pain we encounter that we feel for deeply. In fact, we have even trained our minds to move too quickly when a story of pain comes our way. That we hear that story, we see that story, and we say, ah, too bad. But then we move too quickly and don't want to feel it. Don't want to experience deeply that. However, there are moments when we are moved, we are deeply moved. You see someone suffering or hear a sad story and you're deeply moved, even moved to the point of tears. You're moved. But that's sometimes. But just imagine this. Imagine a God who is pure. His heart is pure. And his motives are pure. And that he cares deeply for every single one of us in this room, but also for every single one person in the world. How much does he feel? How deeply is he moved every single moment? Well, there's always a story of pain, isn't there? Somebody's going through pain and suffering. Some of you are here right now. You're going through a rough time. God is invested in your well-being and he is moved, deeply moved, because he cares about you. He cares for you. And not only is he moved, not only is he deeply moved, but he stays there longer. Now, you and I can move too quickly, but he stays there longer. He sits with you right there until when you've gone through it. He is deeply moved. He understands your pain. You know, there are moments you can share your story with me and I'll be like, oh, I cannot imagine what you're going through. Or maybe sometimes I'll say, you know what, I understand. But I don't. I cannot really feel your pain. I don't really get it. I can have a level of understanding, but I cannot get it as much as you have experienced. So what about for God who knows every single detail, who knows even the details of your story that you did not tell? That he breaks, his heart breaks for you. So he understands and he is deeply moved, because the deeper you care for someone, the more deeply moved you will be, isn't it? And God loves us deeply. And that determines how deeply he is moved by our pain. And he's so deeply moved. So, no matter what's happening in your life right now, in this season that you're going through, God is more invested in it, even more than you are. He cares for you because he's moved. Practical ways that you can use this week. Number one, ask questions but believe God's plan. Ask questions but believe God's plan. Jesus Christ does ask the question, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God does not scorn him. God does not say, how dare you ask me that question? He doesn't. Because God is not actually really scared with our questions. He accepts them. He welcomes, you know, our questions. But we also have to be mindful. But there are moments when you can ask questions from a place of unbelief, or you can believe God's plan. So ask questions, but believe God's plan. And what's happening in this question, my God, why have you forsaken me? There is actually a premise in this question. And the premise is that Jesus Christ believes that God cares. He believes that God cares. So he wonders, I thought you care. What's happening? You care. Why does it feel like you're not? Because I know you care. Hey, I know that you never leave. Why does it feel like you are leaving? You have left. What's happening? It comes from a place of faith. I believe that God will never leave me nor forsake me. I believe that God looks after his people. But why in this moment does it feel like you're not looking after me? The premise is faith. I believe that God is not scared of my fears. But why does it feel like you are scared in this moment, that you don't want to be with me here? It feels that way. Because I believe you're not scared. I believe you're not surprised by my pain or suffering. But why does it feel like you are? So the premise of this question is actually faith. And there are moments that we can ask questions, but coming from a place of unbelief. And God will reject that. But when we ask questions, but believe God's plan. Because even though you don't get answers to your questions, you will believe in God's plan, that God is up to something better. He is creating, he is forming something better for me. And I trust him. And I trust him. So ask questions, but believe God's plan. Number two, pursue peace-building habits. Pursue peace-building habits. None of us go shopping for negative thoughts. Like, you don't wake up in the morning and be like, huh, what negative thought should I tell myself today? I'm useless. No, you don't do that. What negative thought should I embrace today? We don't do that. Actually, negative thoughts come to us, don't they? They just happen. They come to us. So you need to build, you need to pursue peace-building habits that you are doing, so that when a negative thought comes in, you can rely on the habit that you have. That builds your peace. That builds your peace. And we find that in Scripture. And one of the places, you know, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything is prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving to God. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. The one thing that you could be, one habit you could, you know, pursue is preaching to yourself more than you listen to yourself. Speaking to yourself more than you listen to yourself. Because we easily tell ourselves lies, easily. We easily tell ourselves things that are not from God. Easily believe those things. But we need to be preaching to ourselves more. I am loved by God. He loves me. I am accepted by God. You might be feeling worthy of unloved. No, I am loved. I'm accepted by God. So speak to yourself. Preach to yourself more than you speak yourself. Another peace-building habit is saying thankful prayers. Saying thankful prayers. Be thankful. Thank you, God, for what you have done for me. Thank you for the gift of family. Just look around you. Thank you, God, for a beautiful day that you gave me today. Thank you, God, for this. But also we can thank God for the things that he did not do. Thank you that you did not give me this. Thank you that you did not, you do not answer that prayer, because God is good in all things. So do that. And another thing in there, you can also be declaring God's promises for you. You know, there are a lot of promises that God says about us and for us. You know, that we can go into scripture and look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and embrace that. You know, proclaim that. Say it out loud. So pursue peace building habits. And I'm saying that word pursue because you got to be intentional about this. Because negative thoughts, they'll just find you. So you got to be intentional in peace building habits. Number three, acknowledge the negative feeling, but dwell on what's true. Acknowledge the negative feeling, but dwell on what's true. You might be feeling like you don't matter. You can acknowledge that I feel this way. But then what you dwell or what you focus on should be on what's true. Actually, what's true is that you matter to God. What's true, actually, you know what? There are people in your life that rely on you, that depend on you. You matter to them. You have a church family that you matter to. You know, you might be feeling like, oh, you know, nobody around me loves me because maybe you did a presentation at work and one person said a negative comment, you know, and then you disregard all the 10 or 20 positive comments because we dwell more on the negative than on the praise. And you feel like my life is done. Nobody cares about me. No, that's not true. There are a lot of people that care about you. In fact, if there's no one, but we know God cares about you. He cares for you. So you can recognize the negative feeling, but dwell on what is true. Yes, you felt rejected this week, but you're accepted by God unconditionally, and that is true. That is true. This is not a permanent thing. This is a seasonal thing. This pain and suffering is not permanent. It's a seasonal thing, and you can embrace that. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning to remember what Jesus has done for us. And I'm going to ask our spirit team to come and distribute the communion elements. If you are watching online, feel free to find something in your kitchen. It could be a biscuit. It could be bread and juice or whatever you have, even water. That should be okay. Just have that and we can take communion together. The cross is both ugly and beautiful. The cross is both ugly and beautiful. The reality of the cross is that you cannot look at it and not see the ugliness of the cross, but also not see the beauty of the cross. On the cross, we find death. Let's keep going. We find death and life. On the cross, we find love. On the cross, we find sadness, but also we find joy. On the cross, we see selflessness in Christ, but also we see injustice happening. But we see justice from God and injustice from the people. We see it on the cross. And when we embrace the cross has an invitation for you and me. And the invitation is that we would die to ourselves and live to God. That we would die to our sinful nature and live to God. There is an invitation on the cross. So what things do you need to let go today so that you embrace the cross? If you have not given your life to Jesus today, I hope you can look at the cross and see how deeply loved you are by God. That He invites you, that He calls you, and He wants to welcome you. And hopefully today you can say yes to His call. Hopefully today you can say yes to Jesus because He wants you and He wants your life. You can find joy in God. You can find a life that's better and good for you than the one you have right now. If you say yes and embrace what He offers you. Because the cross shows us the gravity of our sin, but also the cross shows us the greatness of the grace of God for our sins. We find it all on the cross. And as we'll be taking communion today, I hope you can remember that, that you leave your sin on the cross, but also you take the grace that God offers you from it. because he offers you grace right now, today, this morning. So keep your communion elements with you and we'll take it together. Harry, would you confirm if the people outside have gotten communion elements? All right. And would you please bring me a cup as well? If you're wondering why we do communion, it's because we have an instruction from Jesus. Before he died, Christ gives instructions to his followers because he got them on in the room. Thank you. And he took the bread and said, and broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the cup which had wine. He gave it to them to drink. And he said, "This is my blood shed for you." And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So Christ has done amazing things for us, and we remember. So communion, it helps us to remember, but also celebrate what Christ has done for us. But also in communion, we know our brokenness finds healing in him. Would you please take the bread? I'll say a statement, and you will say that statement back. This is the body of Jesus broken for us. Take it. Now, would you please take the cup? I'll say a statement, and you're going to say that back. This is the blood of Jesus shed for us. Take it. God, we come to you right now, this moment. Jesus, you are forsaken so that every single one of us will always have your presence with us. So that every single one of us will never, ever be forsaken ever again. God, we come to you and we leave our sin on the cross. We leave our selfish ambitions on the cross. We leave our pride on the cross. We leave our unfaithfulness on the cross. We leave our corruption on the cross. We leave it all on the cross. But also, God, we pick up the grace that you provide for us. We pick up the mercy that you give us. We pick up the help that you offer us. We pick up new life. We embrace it. So God, help us live as though we are forgiven and not live unforgiven. Help us live as though we are accepted by God than those who feel abandoned and not accepted. We are thankful for what you have done. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.